Time now for the Talk of the Nation opinion page. The guilty verdicts in the CIA leak trial of Lewis Scooter Libby were hardly out of the forewoman's mouth last week before critics started to question his fate. One side claimed that Libby was the target of a politicized prosecution, and an editorial in the National Review argued that President Bush should pardon him. On the other side, the verdict and the potential sentence of years in prison did not go nearly far enough. On his website, Informed Comment, Juan Cole argues that the real culprit is Lewis Libby's former boss, Vice President Dick Cheney. As such, he says, Congress should impeach the vice president. We'll talk with Juan Cole in a couple of minutes and with Kate O'Byrne, the Washington editor of the National Review, now. And Kate O'Byrne joins us on the phone. Nice of you to be with us.
Thank you, Neil. Nice to be with you.
And if listeners want to join the conversation, 800-989-8255 or email talk@npr.org. And Kate O'Byrne, the opening line in your editorial last week was, quote, President Bush should pardon I, Lewis Scooter Libby. Why do you think he should be pardoned?
We think he should be pardoned, Neil, because we think it's a classic example, his prosecution, criminal prosecution, of criminalizing political disputes. The only wrinkle in this case is it was both an intra-administration political dispute over, in part, who takes the responsibility for faulty intelligence on the weapons of mass destruction, the CIA or the White House, and, of course, the overall political dispute over the cause for going to war with Iraq. And it wound up in the hands, which we argue it shouldn't have, of a special counsel. And the rest is history, as is so often the case.
Yet this is all an argument within, well, at least in part, within the administration. As you point out, the CIA was, you argue, trying to say, look, we may have blown other things, but we didn't blow that nuclear weapon stuff. That was the vice president's office.
Exactly. And that kind of intra-administration dispute, and the State Department, of course, and the person of Richard Armitage in this case plays a role here, too, is something that this president has never refereed. He permitted these kinds of disputes to go on. In this case, it led to a criminal referral from the CIA over to the Justice Department, even though the CIA certainly understood that Valerie Plame was not a covert agent within the meaning of the underlying criminal statute. From the moment it arrived at the Justice Department, the Justice Department knew that Richard Armitage had been the one who leaked her name to Robert Novak. There was no evidence criminal staff attorneys couldn't have handled this inquiry. Question asked and answered. Richard Armitage leaked the name. And instead, they showed political cowardice by bucking it to a special counsel. He also knew the day he arrived on the scene who had done the leaking and seemed to pursue a perjury conviction rather than the underlying crime.
Yet.
So it shouldn't have been referred. No special counsel should have been named. There should have been no case brought. And needless to say, Scooter Libby should not have been convicted and shouldn't be facing years in jail.
Yet, whatever the circumstances, he was called before a grand jury, and now a criminal jury has found him guilty of lying to that grand jury, guilty of lying to FBI investigators. Surely these are important crimes.
Absolutely. Perjury is a serious criminal offense. It wouldn't be an answer to a perjury charge that there was no underlying crime. I don't think that's the case. I think perjury alone is a serious criminal offense. But I think reasonable people could disagree with that jury's verdict. I think they did a diligent job. But in this case, we have no two people in either the media or the administration who had any conversation about Valerie Plame having the same recollection. And yet it's only Scooter Libby, I think, because from the outset he was cast as one of the villains who faces perjury charges.
Kate O'Byrne of the National Review. We're talking on the opinion page, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Also on the line with us is Juan Cole, professor of modern Middle East and South Asian history at the University of Michigan. He's at a studio on the campus in Ann Arbor. Nice to have you on the program again.
Thank you very much.
And let me ask you, at your website, Informed Comment, you argue it's time for the Democrats in Congress to step up following the verdicts in the Scooter Libby case and impeach the vice president. Why?
Well, the evidence is that Mr. Cheney was the one who revealed to Mr. Libby that Joe Wilson's wife worked for the CIA. And the evidence from Kathy Martin and others in the White House is that Mr. Cheney asked Mr. Libby to get up a campaign to discredit Mr. Wilson, to smear him, and to let the press know that his wife was working for the CIA. And I think that is a high crime and misdemeanor. In fact, were you yourself to out a CIA operative in this way, I think there'd probably be serious consequences for you.
This is a statute used just once previous to this. Of course, it didn't end up being used in this case either. But it's a very narrowly drawn law, is it not, Juan Cole?
I'm not talking about that law. I'm talking about whether it's suitable for the Vice President of the United States to out a CIA operative who was a NOC. This is someone who was working for a dummy corporation set up by the CIA to track down Iranian and other nuclear non-proliferation attempts, or nuclear proliferation attempts, and who, if captured, would have been denied by the government as a CIA operative. Moreover, this is someone who was seen in an undercover role at all kinds of functions around the world in the company of other people. When Mr. Cheney had Mr. Libby out Valerie Plame, he put enormous numbers of lives at danger. He ruined a major anti-proliferation effort. He destroyed the value of that dummy corporation. This, all of these things, quite apart from that obscure law, it seems to me are impeachable offenses.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's get some listeners involved in the conversation. Let's see if we can go to John. John's with us from Palo Alto in California.
Hi there. My comment is I think that the hypocrisy on the part of the proponents of a pardon is just breathtaking, especially since many of these proponents were the same people who were adamant about impeaching President Clinton for the same offenses. Now, I know Ms. O'Byrne is going to make the distinction, as she did on Chris Matthews' show last week, that Scooter Libby has never admitted these offenses. Now, the problem with that, vis-a-vis a pardon, is that one of the major elements.
Well, we'll let Cato Byrne make her own arguments. Why don't you make yours, okay?
Well, I'm just anticipating. To refute that argument, one of the major Justice Department guidelines is that one has to apologize for their crime.
Mm-hmm.
Also, perjury is a serious offense, whether or not the one believes that the underlying offense occurred. Perjury, we all tell our kids not to lie.
Mm-hmm.
And for people who are generally proponents of so-called, quote, family values, to make the argument, well, it's okay to lie as long as the underlying offense is not a crime, I just don't get that at all.
Cato Byrne, in response?
Well, I haven't made that argument. I explicitly rejected that argument. I think perjury is a serious offense, because one difference with Bill Clinton is that he's an admitted perjurer, which is not the case with Louis Libby, and some of the jury members themselves. One question they have is, how come we didn't hear from memory experts? Well, this is the nature of a trial. The presiding judge didn't permit any evidence on memory, on the limitations of memory, which, of course, was Libby's central
defense.
Mm. And, you know, I didn't hear a crime in the course of Professor Cole's indictment against Dick Cheney. Certainly, if that's his point of view, Richard Armitage, who got the information that Valerie Plame worked at the CIA off a document marked classified, should be the first one in the dock. The CIA briefers who told White House officials that Valerie Plame worked at the CIA without volunteering or saying that her status was classified. Certainly, CIA people have the first responsibility to protect the classified information at the CIA. They should certainly be in the dock. It happens to be the case that Patrick Fitzgerald found no underlining criminal offense
mm-hmm.
in talking about Valerie Plame's employment.
And let's give Juan Cole the last word. You've got 40 seconds, Juan.
Well, Mr. Cheney told Mr. Libby to out Valerie Plame as a way of smearing Joe Wilson. We don't need memory for this. We have a memo from Mr. Libby saying that Cheney's the one who told him, and he told him well before he talked to any press. And they were trying to get this out. They talked to Judy Miller. They talked to all kinds of reporters. And it so happened that Armitage was the one who succeeded in getting the message out, maybe inadvertently. But the effort was being made from Vice President Cheney's office to get the word out. And the reporters mostly wouldn't do something so dastardly as out a CIA agent. Moreover, the CIA was perfectly within its right to tell the vice president about a covert agent. It was the vice president who should have kept that secret.
Juan Cole, a professor of modern Middle East and South Asian history at the University of Michigan, thanks very much.
You're very welcome.
And Kate O'Byrne, Washington editor for the National Review. We thank you for your time today.
Thanks, Neil.
We have links to both of their pieces at our blog, npr.org/blogofthenation. While you're there, you can also check out information on how to download our Opinion Page podcasts. This is NPR News.